The Forbes Library staff would like to remind you of the incredible resource that you have in your local public library. We have tens of thousands of books for you to check out, music CDs, movies, newspapers from around the region, the state, and the country. We have a wide variety of magazines and free computer and internet access every day. We also have our incredible reference services there to help you answer particularly vexing problems. All of this is free, locally available at 20 West Street in Northampton. So come by and check us out in person or at www.forbeslibrary.org. or call 587-1011 for more information.
Great weather means it's time for kids to go out and play. But kids aren't the only ones outdoors. Ticks that spread Lyme disease and other infections are also active in the spring and summer. CDC reminds you and your children to wear insect repellent, bathe or shower as soon as possible after coming indoors, and check for ticks daily. If you've been bitten by a tick and develop fever, rash, or fatigue, seek medical care. To learn more, visit www.cdc.gov/Lyme.
Hi, I'm Ruthie, and I have a recorder. Tune in Wednesdays from 4 to 5 to Out There. We'll meet people and plants around the streets and paths of Northampton, and we'll think about ways we can share the world. Here on Valley Free Radio, or archived online at weatherbeer.com/out there. Get out if you can. But if you can't get out, tune in. We don't care if they laugh at us. Let them take the bus and leave the sickle for us. They can have a Cadillac and T-1-2. But give me my rocket bicycle for two. And that's today. It's Wednesday, July 6th. And thanks for tuning in to Out There. Let's see, I got some stuff for today. I'm going to start soon. No, I know what I'm going to say. I just played that PSA about Lyme disease. Well, one of the things they didn't mention is other tick-borne diseases. I actually got a couple ticks in June that I pulled off of me, and then a week later came down with severe fever, chills, headache, dizziness, and went to a couple of different doctors who said, nope, you don't meet the CDC protocol or whatever for Lyme disease. And then the third doctor I went to said, you need to go on doxycycline, the antibiotic, right now. And he got me a prescription, thanks to Dr. Swigard. And the blood test suggested that I had anaplasmosis, which is another tick-borne disease that doesn't leave a rash. Anyway, don't forget to do your tick checks. So today I want to talk about or play some clips from the July 4th citizenship ceremony in downtown Northampton and have conversations with friends and people about U.S. citizenship or citizenship in general and how they feel about it. But first, I'll play this from this afternoon's dentist appointment at Modesto Family Dentistry.
So I just got my teeth cleaned by Annette here at Modesto Family Dentistry. Annette and Dr. DeCinth, you're making sure I have a healthy mouth. Annette, do you have any tips for people what they can do at home so that you don't have to do as much work when they come in?
Well, one of the biggest things I think is slow down when you're brushing. You know, you should be brushing for 2 full minutes, minute on the bottom, a minute on the top, and just think about what you're doing. You know, we're so on automatic, we're rushing, so just really be sure you're angling it toward the gum line, and then flossing, floss, floss, floss. You know, it doesn't take that long, and again, you want to be sure that you're wrapping it around the tooth and going all the way under the gums. So, and one other thing is if you're noticing, like, bleeding, that is already a sign of infection. You know, I hear people say, oh, they bleed all the time. That's an infection. That's a gum infection. So if you haven't been to the dentist in a while, come on in.
You want anything?
Well, I think, no, Annette did a fine job at explaining that. She's one of our many excellent hygienists in our team. I think she's right in saying that people are living such a rushed lifestyle now that it's very difficult to slow down and take the time that it takes to do that. But you know, self-care is something that a lot of people kind of get by the wayside in our busy life, but it's one of those things that pays off on the long term, and it's really about preventative care and prevention does go a very long way. It's true in medicine and it's true in dental medicine as well.
Can you say something about what we eat and drink and how that affects things?
Oh, yeah. One of the things I've always been very interested in is the systemic relationship between oral health and physical health. And I'm excited to see that the trend is increasing right now, and we're kind of in that way catching up with Eastern medicine a little bit in realizing that it's really a holistic approach that we have to have. You know, the frequency of what we eat and drink, what we're eating and drinking, not only in terms of its acidity, but nutritional components have a huge role to play in oral health and vice versa. Yeah, we often find systemic diseases depending on what's going on in the mouth as well. So it's kind of like a, yeah, it's very interesting.
And some of the like sport drinks that we think are also wonderful, just check the labels, a lot of high sugar there.
And acids.
And acids, so yeah, sugar, acid, not a good combination.
No, I've actually, in my career, worked in pediatrics, and I have seen many times children go through the first decade of their life without having one cavity, impeccable mouths, and then they go away for the summer and they drink Gatorade all every day while they're at baseball camp, and they come back with literally 8 to 10 cavities.
Wow.
I know, my stomach sinks every time I see that. You know, the commercials look good. It looks really sexy. It looks really amazing. And it looks like you're going to be a star if you drink that stuff. But, oh, my gosh. No, no, no. Absolutely not. Not a fan of those.
Well, thank you. Thank you both.
You're very welcome.
You're very welcome.
That was Annette and Dr. Jacinth from Modesto Family Dentistry here in Florence. Okay, something else from my day today that I'm going to share. I spent a couple hours this morning emptying downtown trash barrels as part of Federal People and pulling lots of cups out of the recycling bin. There's this PSA that I put together for this station, which you may have heard. In fact, maybe I'll just play it.
This is Ruthie from Federal People with a public service announcement. If you frequent downtown Northampton or Florence and you pass by the recycling and trash bins on the street, the public ones, I'm here to let you know that cups are not recyclable. No plastic cups, no paper cups, no styrofoam cups, no clear cups, red cups, blue cups, yellow cups, no insulated cups. Because if you put cups in the recycling bin, it means either I pick them out or someone at the sorting facility picks them out in Springfield, or it contaminates the whole load too much that the whole load is considered trash. Or if you can just bring your own cup altogether and not have disposable cups, that'd be even better. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your cooperation.
So this morning when I was emptying the recycling, when I was taking it to the compactor back behind Thorns, where a lot of it goes, the trash and the recycling, I ran into the ARS Alternative Recycling Systems truck driver who drives the recycling truck. And so I asked him about this whole thing about, you know, the whole load getting thrown out.
You gotta see the stuff we see. It's crazy.
Like what?
Plastic seats, everything.
Oh, stuff that people try to put in the recycling?
Oh, yeah, chairs.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Plastic bags is the biggest one. Thank God we're allowed 10%. After 10%, it's rejected. The load is rejected.
So if people put trash like plastic cups in the recycling?
It's considered 10% trash, cardboard. If you got a mix of a cardboard into a plastic load, it's 10%.
Have you ever had a load rejected?
Yes.
What do you do with it?
Goes to trash, a whole load.
Whole load.
Whole load.
So, the other thing he said, the point he made was that plastic bags are a big problem too. So if you put your recyclables in plastic bags and, well, I guess it may depend if you use Federal People. It may depend on your hauler. But if you put it, generally plastic bags are not recyclable with containers. Like if you put plastic bags in a public receptacle for recycling, then that's not good. It can get tangled up in the machinery, the sorting equipment, like at the Murph in Springfield, wherever the stuff goes. And what else? All right. Well, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I am your host, Ruthie. I'm going to go on to talk to play some of the clips from Monday's citizenship ceremony downtown. Really, I just have like 5 minutes of that. And this is a judge, don't know her name, don't know her position, but she's a judge giving a welcome here.
First of all, I want to join the people standing here and many others in this crowd in welcoming you as American citizens. And I'm echoing the mayor here. At a time when there is divisive discussion about immigration in this country and in many others, we remember that with very few exceptions, we're all immigrants in this country. It's immigrants, and it's a combination of our very diverse cultures, ideas, and beliefs that has made this country what it is. And you are more than welcome here. Second. Second, I want to pay tribute to your countries of origin. You know, as a group, you're tremendously diverse. I was told there are 32 of you. No, I'm sorry, there are 51 of you who come from 32 different countries with varied and rich cultures. And those countries, I think, include Bhutan, Bulgaria, Canada, the People's Republic of China, Colombia, the Côte d'Ivoire, the Dominican Republic, Egypt, El Salvador, Ghana, Guatemala, Haiti, India, Iraq, Ireland, Jamaica, Jordan, Kenya, Mexico, Moldova, Nepal, Pakistan, Poland, Portugal, Russia, South Korea, Spain, Trinidad and Tobago, Turkey, the United Kingdom, Uruguay, and Venezuela. It's an amazing list of countries. And whatever has led you to this choice to become an American citizen, the memory of your country of origin, its language, its traditions, those should remain with you. Those will remain with you. Those are important memories. They're parts of who you are as individuals and as families. My third point is, now that you've made this choice to become American citizens, we hope that you'll also choose to participate fully in the civic and cultural life of America. You personally can be as involved in elections as you want to be. I hope some of you will be as involved as to the point of becoming candidates for local office or for statewide office or for campaigning for the citizens that you support.
This is an amazing day to celebrate. I am thrilled to be part of the community, and I am so thankful for Center for New Americans. They definitely are a welcoming organization to actually finalize this process and to be here to celebrate citizenship.
Can you share any stories along your path of what's led you to become a citizen today?
Once you're here in this country, then you start realizing how wonderful and how amazing it is to be here and be part of the values and the democracy of this country. And so it makes you really follow this lengthy and challenging process, but it's really rewarding.
Where are you from? Do you mind? Sure.
Originally, Colombia. I came here when I was very young, 12 years old, and I had to go through school and I had to go through different challenges and keep going, not give up.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Hi, Valley Free Radio. Hi, Pocky Wheeland. My name is Vera Duongmini Cage, and I am running for state representative in the 3rd Hampshire District. Ellen Storr is retiring after 24 good years, and there are 6 of us who want to be in her seat. And I am currently on the school committee. I'm here in Northampton because I want to celebrate with the people, because they're doing something very special, and that's being sworn in as new Americans. And I remember the day that my family was sworn in as new Americans back in Boston in Faneuil Hall when I was just a junior high student, and we were thinking, oh, do we change our names now that we're going to be Americans? So my name is intact. It's Vera Pun Duongmini, and my husband is Cage, so I have both last names, Duongmini Cage. But yeah, so it's great to be here. I see a lot of elected officials here, the mayor, Northwestern District attorneys here, and city council people. And, you know, when I have been congratulating those families who just experienced this, and they're so excited, they're so happy,
The weather is beautiful. It's such a warm and joyous occasion.
I'm a supporter of Vera, so I wanted to go. I've always wanted to come to this. I haven't been to one since I lived in New York about almost 6 years ago. So I said, I want to go to the ceremony. I want to see it because it's very emotional. And it's so good to see a variety of people and different types of people and all that want to be citizens and vote and do what they're supposed to do. So this gives me hope when I come to these ceremonies. You know, and just congratulating people for becoming citizens. I'm very proud of them.
And it shows that there's a commitment from people to support immigrants in this country, yes. Especially around the rhetoric that is being spewed in the media right now. I think it's so hugely important for young children to feel safe, to offer alternatives to what the television set is saying to them. And I think that I'm here to experience this and to be changed and to be moved and to be transformed and to be able to hold people accountable because we were able to share this space, share this joyful occasion. But what's the point if we can't have good schools to go to, public education that's there for our kids, you know? What does it matter if there's hate crimes that people are fearful of? So this is an experience to share with all of us so that way we can hold each other accountable and speak to the United States that we strive for and be our best selves. I remember escaping Laos, crossing the Mekong River with my mother and my younger brother and reuniting with the rest of the family in the Thai refugee camps. And it's that type of risk-taking that people do every day to come and have opportunity here, economic opportunity, opportunities to live without fear, prosecution, persecution. And for women and girls especially, it's so critically important to allow opportunities for advancement because if somebody in another country or somebody in our own community, in our own neighborhood, our neighbors can't exercise freedom and can't live in the open and can't come outside and can't come out of the shadows, we're all unsafe. And I want to be part of creating that safe community for all. Thank you.
That was Vera Dorminey Cage and Andrea Battle in that last clip. Vera is running for state representative for the 3rd Hampshire District to replace Ellen Story. And that election is going to be on Thursday, September 8th. Be sure you're registered by August 19th if you're not. That reminds me that also I believe that the Northampton City Council at-large seat is the election for that is tomorrow. The special election for that, I believe, is tomorrow, July 8th, July 7th, Thursday, July 7th. And you know what? I'm going to play some Neil Diamond. And then later on in the show, I'll have some people talking about other perspectives towards citizenship. Close, hang on to a dream.
Don't it seem so far away? We're traveling light today. In the eye of the storm. In the eye of the storm. Home. To a new and the shining place. Make our bed and we'll say our grace. Freedom's light burning warm. Freedom's light burning warm. Everywhere around the world, they come to America. Every time that flag's unfurled, they come into America. Got a dream to take them there. They come into America. Got a dream they come to share. They come into America. They come into America. Tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing, of thee I sing.
That was Neil Diamond. I'm going to make a couple of announcements. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJ 103.3 FM in Florence, in Northampton. Let's see, coming up this weekend. Yeah, hang on. This weekend, I want to make an announcement about something coming up on Saturday. It's the Florence walking tour of Florence. Let's see. It's Saturday, July 9th at 10 a.m. meets at the Sojourner Truth Memorial Statue on the corner of Park and Pine Streets in Florence. This is sponsored by the David Ruggles Center. And it's led by Tom Goldscheider, historian and a Ruggles Center member and Florence resident. The David Ruggles Center is down on Naugatuck Street. It's like a museum. Largely of African-American history in Florence. And if you haven't been by the Sojourner Truth statue, you should check it out and check out the story of the Northampton Association for Education and Industry and the utopian roots of this place in the 1850s, mid-1800s. So that's on this Saturday. There's regular tours of walking tours of Florence that happen. So if you missed the one this Saturday at 10, then I'm sure there'll be another one coming up soon. Also, something else coming up. Group Sing in July at the Northampton Senior Services and Senior Center. This will be Wednesday, July 13th at 7 p.m. Group Sing will be held at Northampton Services and Senior Center, 67 Conn Street, next Wednesday, 7. Group Sing is for singers and non-singers alike. Come join us and have an enjoyable musical evening. This event is free for seniors age 55 and older. If you have any questions, please call the Senior Center at 413-587-1228. And coming up next Saturday, July 16th, in Great Barrington and in Sandusfield, it's called On Spectacle Pond, Resisting the Pipeline. Spectacle Pond is in Otis State Forest in Sandusfield. This event is 12 to 1, next Saturday, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. at Great Barrington and in the Town Hall gazebo. Behind Town Hall, there'll be music, speakers, and the latest information. And then from 2 to 4, there's a solidarity rally at the Lower Spectacle Pond on Cold Spring Road with more local music, speakers, and a kayak and canoe flotilla. A little bit of background on that. Kinder Morgan has proposed the Connecticut Expansion Pipeline through New York, Massachusetts, and Connecticut. Kinder Morgan intends to take private property and public land by eminent domain. Otis State Forest is public land constitutionally protected under Massachusetts Article 97. Sandusfield, the community directly impacted, has overwhelmingly voted in opposition to this fracked gas pipeline. So, for more information, you can call Kathy Daly at 413-586-4435. Or email inothatcat@gmail.com. So next I'm going to play some more interviews about people thinking about what it means to be a citizen of the United States, or and people's feelings about that. This is a conversation. Actually, I forgot exactly how I edited this clip, so I'm not sure what all's included in this. Like, it's a little 4-minute clip, but I think it's with my housemate Annie and some guests that we had this week, Pablo and his dad Uli, who were visiting from Germany. Yeah.
When you were a citizen?
Yeah, I would say as well.
No, like really.
Like really.
What are you a citizen of? What country?
Here in U.S.
You have a passport? U.S. Mm-hmm. passport?
That will make you a U.S. citizen, right?
But you're not a citizen of Germany.
No.
That's so
How are you a citizen of U.S.?
Because of my mom, she's Puerto Rican.
Oh, she's Puerto Rican, right.
And you have a French passport. But you don't consider yourself a citizen of France, but you are, technically.
Technically, yeah.
Because the U.S. and French have dual citizenship?
Yeah, they allowed. Germany wouldn't allow it.
Wow, you got to make some choices about this.
Yeah, if you'd ask me, I'd not know what to say. It would be hard.
But you're not an American, North American, United Statesian. But you are,
technically. But he is.
You are technically, but you don't like feel like you are. Do you feel like you are?
Well, that's why I asked you what it meant to you.
Oh, really?
Because it would...
Did you connect with any of that?
Sure.
What's it mean to you? Can I ask you?
Yeah, sure.
Citizen of the United States.
It means a lot of things. it's a challenging question because there's so much to it. And also, I really am trying to say, like, I'm trying not to say I'm an American anymore, but mm-hmm. I'm a United Statesian, because I think it takes away, like, legitimacy of other people from the Americas that they're from here too, mm-hmm. you know? And on like the positive side, what it means to me is like I really feel that by being here I'm able to truly express who I am in ways that I don't feel I'm able to in other places. Mm-hmm. And that I'm surrounded by a lot of people who also can like express themselves for who they are and not have to necessarily fit in a certain way. And when I spend time with or hear stories about people in other places, like say in Middle East or whatever, and hear what horrible things are done for people to people who go outside the box, it makes me feel really grateful for being here. And then on the other side, it's hard to consider myself a United Statesian, partly because I feel like our communities have broken down in ways like aren't as united as in some other places that I've been to and aren't as like powerful, and there's so much hierarchy here that I think has really disabled the power of our people. And then also our negative influence, it's a lot of negative influence on other people around the world, and the fact that does reflect on who I am. You know, or that does reflect on me mm-hmm. and other people who are from here and who could have influence or do have influence on how we treat other people around the world. That's hard to connect myself to.
I think in my case it would apply of being a citizen of the Western world, let's say. Mm-hmm. So is Germany, so is France. And it doesn't differ too much, I'd say. What life is like here or what life is like in Germany, it pretty much became very, very similar, very globalized, globalized Western. And what that means, what you said a lot, like of responsibility, a lot of influence, since it's like pretty much influencing the whole world. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of responsibility. It's influencing in good and in bad ways. Be aware of the negative parts and cultivate the good parts.
So that was a clip with Annie and Pablo. It was interesting to me, like, thinking about Pablo and citizenship, and because he was visiting, I knew him, he was visiting with his dad from Germany, but I also had learned that he was born in Mexico, and his mom was from Puerto Rico, but had spent a lot of time in France. And as someone who spent my entire life in this country, it's a challenge for me to wrap my mind around, like, being from so many different places. Next is Now, my friend Now, who lives in Holyoke, used to live in Northampton, talks about her thoughts on citizenship.
Now, you've lived in this country for a while. How long have you lived here?
More than 20 years.
And you decided you don't want to become a citizen. How come?
I haven't really decided, but I still question about the concept of citizens and also country and border. I'm originally from Japan, and Japan and the U.S. are the last countries I want to be citizen of. And I question about the importance of a passport. So I decided to not to be citizen of the United States, although I've been living here longer than any other country. And I'm also, I am still a student of Japan, but I would like to be the student of the earth, or I don't want to be, I don't want to use citizenship as my identity.
I don't know much about the legal, legal implications or whatever, but like, what are some of the benefits of citizenship or responsibilities of citizenship? Like, would people say, oh, are you like taking advantage of anything without being a citizen?
Well, I'm paying tax to this country, and one thing I'm frustrated is that I can't vote. That's the only time I want to become a citizen. And I am able to vote in Japan, but the things they decide in Japan right now does not directly affect me. I mean, it does indirectly. So I would like to be able to vote in this country because I'm living here. Many countries also allow people to have dual citizenship. You can be the citizen of both countries, but Japan does not. So I had to stay as a Japanese citizen. There are also tax implications, I'm sure. As a non-citizen, you have to fill out the different form. I think the voting is amazing for me.
You mentioned Japan and the United States are the last two countries you'd want to be a citizen of. Can you say something more about that?
Well, both countries have been empires, and I still feel like they are. And also, I think both countries have higher rate of depression. And I think that makes sense, the way their lifestyles are. And I admit that I have that part of it, people of the empire. Sometimes I find myself that I grew up with learning the wrong history, sanitized history. And so I'm relearning now about the history more.
Anything else come to mind?
The only thing is that I do admit that sometimes I feel not very responsible for what's going on in the world, because I kind of say I'm Japanese, so the thing in here I can't participate politically, so I feel like sometimes I become not responsible, as responsible as I want to be. And the same thing as when I go back to Japan, I'm not really responsible. So I need to get more involved.
Like even on a local level, like you can't vote in city council elections, right? And you're not like a constituent of your city councilor or things like that.
Yeah. So the only thing I can be is a supporter, I guess. Maybe I can endorse, maybe.
Do you feel any hesitancy about speaking out on issues?
I actually sometimes do, or especially also getting arrested. That's one thing I'm really afraid of, because of the fear of deportation, or once you get arrested, you may not be able to come back to this country again. But I know there are so many now, young people who are not afraid and who speak out. I think that's great. I admire that.
Mm-hmm. What about, you're a foster parent. What about being a foster parent or adopting kids? How does that, what does that mean for a citizen?
Yeah, that's right. So I wanted to adopt a child, but I cannot adopt internationally. The only people who can adopt internationally in this country, at least one of them has to be United States citizen.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so you, as a Japanese citizen, you can't adopt a United States baby?
No, as a Japanese citizen, I can adopt domestically, meaning I can adopt children of the United States, but not like some of the many adoption agencies have international adoption, like Vietnam, China. I cannot adopt children from those countries.
But can you adopt anyone like through DCFS?
Yes.
So it hasn't been any issue with being a foster parent then?
No. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. The only thing is the language and the culture. I feel bad about not being able to speak English without accent when they are in a developmental skill. Sometimes I always tell my child to ask their preschool teacher how to pronounce, make sure they are getting the right pronunciation.
Anything else?
Yeah, I like this country. The people of this country, and I think this is a great country. I think political things that bothers me a lot. Same thing as Japan. I guess I'm still trying to figure out my route, my country, or not country, and my identity.
Thanks.
That was an interview with Nao Sakurai, a friend, a doctor, and foster parent who lives in Holyoke. Next, I have an interview with my housemate, Annie Doran.
Yeah, tell me about a time that you didn't feel proud to be an American.
Which one? the first time I remember, really not being proud of being an American was... I was 21 and in Brazil with other students from the States, and we spent 4 days on an encampment for the landless workers movement. And not only was it an encampment, but it was at that time a training ground for youth in the landless workers movement. I don't know if I should explain what the landless workers movement is, but so the landless workers movement is a pretty strong movement in South America, but very strong in Brazil and still quite strong. And basically what they do is research land that by law should be redistributed to be produced upon, but it hasn't been redistributed for lots of political reasons. So they gather people together and plan to occupy the land and then start their own communities and farms and schools and whatnot on there. And the people who are occupying the land are all landless or homeless themselves.
It's just like squatting until the land becomes yours because you live there.
Yeah, exactly. I was just saying occupied because it was I'll be on the radio.
But squatting, yep, it's a squatters community. Anyway, we were mostly United Statesian students, maybe 12 of us or something, with maybe 50 or 60 young people, like 35 and below, who are training to occupy land, to squat on land. And we had a discussion one night, and one of the young people asked us outright, so what are you going to do about, like, our situation? And nobody could really give an answer, you know, because we've never felt the immediacy that they feel of, like, of needing to survive, or even, like, had built that empathy that would pummel us into action so that we would actually do something. And I just felt like, you know, like I wanted to say something, but I really didn't know what to say, like, because I hadn't built that yet because of, you know, the privilege that I had grown up in.
Did you have any idea for you personally, like, what you could do?
Well, I mean, I then did something, actually. But I think, A, I couldn't really find the words, you know, because sometimes I just can't find the words. But it really hit me so strong, and maybe I didn't have to find the words at that moment, but just asking that question for me, like, was so powerful, feeling like, oh, we can do something, and, you know, others are asking for us to do something. I hadn't been put in that situation before as a young person growing up in the United States. And I did. I went home and I graduated school, and then I went back to Brazil and I started, like, a nonprofit there with a squatters community. So I guess I did start something, or I did do something. But I think having somebody ask me that question point blank was, like, had a huge impact on me, and also made me feel really ashamed of what we've done, what our influences are as United States, United Statesians, what our government has done. And I felt, like, really ashamed.
So when you went back to start that nonprofit later, how much of that desire to do that was, like, from love, and how much of it was from guilt or obligation?
Totally. Definitely a little bit of both. I mean, I think I would not have done it if it wasn't stemming from love and from learning, like, knowing how much I was learning from being with the community. If it hadn't been reciprocal, wouldn't have continued it or started it, because that's what, like, drove me, you know. But certainly, I am sure there's a little piece that did it out of, like, guilt, you know. But it was outweighed by the fun I had with people and what I was learning, and, like, about, like, real stuff about, like, how to love each other and about how to be community and, like, be powerful together and humbled, and how to just shut my mouth and listen and listen and listen and listen until it hurt. literally.
Not just the love, but the love.
Right. Well, that came into play once in a while, too. and then just the other thing, but that was so cool about that experience, is that there was, like, a lot of tension in that room that day of having the discussion with the other young people from the Landless Workers Movement. Mm-hmm. Yet, like, 2 hours later, we were all dancing together and, like, and having a party and really sharing stories with each other and embracing each other. And it was absolutely fine.
That was an interview with my housemate, Annie Dorn, talking about her time in Brazil. And I'm going to play the song by Peter Gabriel. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP 103.3 FM, Northampton. Thank you.
proud land, we grew up strong. We were wanted all along. I was taught to fight, taught to win. I never thought I could fail. No fight left, or so it seems. I am a man whose dreams have all deserted. I've changed my face, I've changed my
That's Peter Gabriel and Kate Bush. I've got one more clip with Annie talking about her work, or I don't know, work time in Maine, in the community there.
Has your heart ever swelled with joy when you think about your love for this country?
I don't think so.
Well, I guess my heart has swelled with joy at times, not necessarily like thinking about the country as a whole, mm-hmm. but thinking about some movements that I've been a part of or some efforts with my community. And at times my heart is just like swelled with love about that. Mm-hmm. But it's usually about embracing people from other places. Mm-hmm. Those movements are about that. And then, and when we're really doing that and like fighting to embrace people mm-hmm. From other places, mm-hmm. then my heart has like swelled with joy.
Mm-hmm. Like you've done a lot of work with refugees in Lewiston, Maine.
Yeah.
How did that feel like being a United Statesian and doing that work?
Yeah.
Maybe you could tell.
So the one time that my heart like really swelled with joy was when a lot of people in Maine lost general assistance and food stamps. A lot of people who were from Congo and Angola and Burundi and other places that were here as asylum seekers. And they all of a sudden, boom, lost assistance. And our community, both United Statesians and refugee community and asylum seekers all came together to stand up and get assistance back. And that's when my heart swelled up, like that I'm surrounded by people from the United States and from elsewhere who could really unite together mm-hmm. and stand up and speak words. Like 16-year-olds were standing up and like speaking beautifully, both from here and from elsewhere. And those in those moments, my heart really swells with joy about being here and about being among like a super diverse, at times very like diverse community. And when they all come together and unite and like become powerful, it's like, whoa, that's when my heart swells with joy.
The time when the people's food stamps or assistance was cut off, what would you say to people who from the United States who say, like, why are we spending money on people who aren't even from here when there's people here who are hungry?
Great question. From my personal experience, I feel like I've learned so much about how to be a community and how to embrace people and how to forgive and how to, like, have, like, more faith and just know that everything changes and, you know, kind of let go of control. I feel like the folks that I've learned that the most from are not from here. They're from Africa or Brazil, mostly. Like, and
you were telling me about one of your friends from Lewiston, whose family had been murdered, and lessons of forgiveness you learned from him.
Right. So, for example, I have one friend who was in Portland, who's from Rwanda, and as a young boy, he watched his family, everyone besides his 2-year-old sister, get murdered. Years later, he met the man and forgave him. And I guess that's, you know, it's partly like that's kind of pushed in their country to forgive. They have to move on, I guess, but it also comes from a very deep place in their heart. And I don't know, I learned a lot about that and just letting people be who they are and in embracing them for who they are. Those kinds of lessons and how to be a community, embrace each other, that I learn a lot of from folks who have immigrated here. And I feel like our country needs so much more, so many more people like that here. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, there's the argument, like economically, say, for instance, where, you know, some people in Lewiston will say, well, the refugees and asylum seekers are soaking off of our budget and we're paying so much a year, blah, blah, blah. Well, A, if you want to play that game, actually, the average asylum seeker in Lewiston, or in Maine, I guess, is on assistance for 3 months, and then after that they are paying their own rent, their own food, everything. They don't have any assistance, so they are actually giving back to the economy. But way above and beyond that, I think the lessons about how to be a community and be united and treat many more people as your family than are actually your family, and not be so protective of your own money and your own things and share them. That's what we need to learn as communities here in the United States. And that's what folks from, say, Africa or Brazil or whoever, that's, I think, what they bring to our communities. And it's so much more necessary than, you know, being able to pay your rent for the first year while here or something. And there's so many people. I heard multiple youth tell me stories, multiple youth from Somalia tell me stories about how their family went in debt so that their neighbor could eat. Wow. And I've never heard anyone from where I grew up in my town in Massachusetts tell me that. I've never heard that. And we just need more of that.
That was my housemate, Annie Doran. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Thanks for listening today. Another thing I wanted to add is about the immigrants, refugees. This is from yesterday's Mass Live. Northampton considers taking in 51 refugees, perhaps within the next year. Northampton officials and area organizations are having discussions on this. There's going to be house parties, house discussions, people hosting them in neighborhoods in Northampton to, you know, brainstorm. I think City Councilor Elisa Klein is coordinating some of those. You get in contact with her if you want to host one. And Democracy Now! Is coming up at 5:00. And thanks for listening. Oh, and of course, on Saturday, this Saturday, like every Saturday, is the Bike Lab. I found a bike today. It looks so good. Why did you throw it away? You want to learn to fix your bike? How to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it? Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike-specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab.
Almost every Saturday since 2004, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., here in Northampton at 12 Northern Avenue.
Come with your bike or your questions.
And your willing attitude.
Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
Venga para el Bike Lab de Northampton y se divertirá mucho, le enseñará muchas lecciones como arreglar bicicletas.
All repairs guaranteed to the end of the driveway.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop. That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is. Ya súbase a la bici, compa. Trépese a la de montaña, la bici urbana, la bici cross. Lléguele a la bicicleta. Ya de menos a la eléctrica o a la estática, ya no hay tos. Llegaré pedaleando en el viaje de allá para acá.
What up, Pioneer Valley? This is Tom Shack from Outer Styly, spinning it on Valley Free Radio, 103.3 FM, WXOJLP, Northampton. Say word.